Hello, hello. Welcome to the show. I'm Joy Dooling, and you are listening to the Joy of Membership podcast. This podcast is for membership leaders. So we talk about strategies for attracting, engaging, and retaining members. But that's not entirely the focus of the show, because let's be honest here, there is no shortage of advice out there on best practices in membership. What we need to talk about is how to actually make those things possible in the real world, how to be absolutely sure that growth practices are going to stick, how to make those things easier, more consistent, and even automatic in some cases. Sound good? Then stick around because we're about to jump into it. Hey there, Joy Dooling here, host of the Joy of Membership podcast. Thanks for tuning in for today's episode. We talk a lot in this show about providing members with value. If you've listened to many episodes, you've probably noticed that being truly helpful for members comes in many different shapes and sizes. And I hope that you find the stories that you've heard to be inspirational and full of little idea nuggets that you can apply to your own organization. Still, you may find yourself returning to questions like, how can my organization create more value? Are there parts of the member experience where we aren't performing as well as we could? If those questions feel familiar, I'd like to invite you to download my free member experience scorecard. It's a quick one-page assessment that tells you exactly where your membership-based organization has areas of strength that you can build on and areas of gap where you're probably going to want to improve. The scorecard is free, and in less than 10 minutes, you'll gain some actionable insights. You can grab your copy right now at joyofmembership.com/scorecard. When I think of industries that were perhaps hardest hit by the COVID-19 global pandemic, the event and trade show industry is always pretty high up on the list. This week's guest, Marlis Arnold, saw the impact coming and knew it was going to be big. In addition to her role as an exhibit marketing strategist, Marlis has served as an organizer of several expos and events herself. She has led exhibitor workshops in a variety of industries, ranging from local consumer expos to some of the largest trade shows in the U.S. She hosts the Trade Show Insights blog and podcast, and she's the author of Build a Better Trade Show Image and Exhibit Design That Works. And she's the founder of the Exhibit Marketers Cafe and Exhibit Marketers Academy, an online education community. Professionally, Marlis knows what she's talking about, and she's one of the best resources I know on the topic of virtual events. Personally, she's the kind of person who always comes through for me whenever I have a question or need a connecting point for a client. Please spend the next few minutes with me getting to know Marlis Arnold. Hey, Marlis, welcome to the podcast. I'm so glad you're here with me today.
Thanks, Joy. I'm looking forward to it.
Okay, so I gave people a little bit of an intro of kind of who you are and what you do, but why don't you tell us who you are and who you help?
Well, I, like most people in the meetings and trade show world, this isn't something I set out to do. It's not like I dreamed of being in trade shows as a kid, but I kind of fell into it about, a little over 20 years ago. And so since then I've been an exhibitor, I've been an event organizer, and I've spent the last 20 years as a trade show marketing consultant and trainer. And so I work with trade show organizers who, you know, want to help their exhibitors do a better job. And so I've done exhibitor workshops for, you know, thousands of exhibitors across the country over the years. And so basically my passion is to help exhibitors of all sizes, all types, do a better job and get better results. And so obviously that all changed this year.
Yes, absolutely. And, you know, in my audience, I have mostly associations and trade groups, and, you know, almost all of them have at least one type of conference that they put on, maybe more events. So they, of course, are going to be intimately familiar with the challenges of the COVID-19 pandemic. But tell us from your perspective, how that impacted you and the clients that you serve.
Well, I saw things were going to unravel before they actually did. I mean, I started watching, I follow the news very closely in the industry. I was seeing what was happening in other countries and basically knew something was going to hit here too. It was just a matter of time. And so as things started to unravel in early March, I was watching really close with my client shows and then just other shows. And so basically I can go back to, it was March 13th. It was, you know, several shows had canceled that week. Con Expo, which is like so big, they only hold it once every 3 years. They actually shut down a day early and sent people home, you know, so that was a big indication. And then also on March 13th was the day that exhibitor show canceled. So when the show for the trade show industry cancels, you know, it's not good. So at that point I started thinking, oh my goodness, what can I do? You know, and I was watching all this happening and feeling so helpless. And so I started thinking, what can I do? I'm just one person, but how can I help my industry? And so I came up with the idea of doing what I call virtual lunch. My website is Exhibit Marketers Cafe. And so I thought, well, let's call it virtual lunch. And so I do every Tuesday since March. I've only skipped a couple. But so we meet every Tuesday at noon central. And, you know, I started out, I was just putting together, you know, people ask me, it's like, so is it a podcast or what? Well, it's kind of like an industry news broadcast combined with a talk show. So I share like news and updates and things that are going on. And then I started this summer bringing in guest experts. And so now each week I have a theme. And so I'll share the news for the first part and then we do an interview. And, you know, it can be anything from we had a guest from Italy talking about what's going on in Europe. We've had, you know, experts on promotional products, print marketing, you know, all different kinds of things. So it's basically just a way that I feel like I can help in some small way to help people not only feel like there's things they can be doing during this time, but also just giving them a community. And what's really fun, I have what I call regulars now. I mean, I've got people that they are on almost every week and they'll pop up, you know, because since I broadcast live, I allow people to, you know, chat and comment. And so people will pop up and go, hi, it's so-and-so from, you know, this part of the country or whatever. And it's just, it's so fun to see that camaraderie building.
So what do you see as kind of themes or, you know, key challenges that are being that you're seeing pop up repeatedly for organizations that are involved in, you know, events and exhibiting, and, you know, they're all trying to do the same thing, you know, this real fast shift over to virtual and find new ways of kind of accomplishing the goals that they had before. But are there themes or key challenges that are popping up for people?
Well, I think the key themes right now are, there's really two. One is the, obviously, like you said, the virtual side. That's where everything shifted like practically overnight. I mean, there were groups back in the spring that were, I hate the word pivot, but pivoting or transitioning within a matter of 3 to 4 weeks, taking their events virtual. So in May, I put together a virtual event Trailblazer Summit where I interviewed some of those early adapters and, you know, what they did and how they made that shift with their event. But that's continued to be a big part of, you know, everything that everybody's dealing with, because now shows are canceling clear into 2021. And we really don't know, you know, I think that's part of what's so hard about all of this is if we knew there was an endpoint and we knew, okay, as of, you know, April 1st, 2021, everything is going to be back open. We're going to be working. We don't know. So, you know, for now, the virtual arena is where things happen. And, you know, I have spent the last 6 months attending about every event I could find. And so I've seen the good, the bad, and the ugly. And so I've spent the entire summer, I laugh that it's like I'm working harder now than I was when I was busy with clients, but I'm attending all these events, making all these, I've got literally spiral notebooks full of notes. And so pulling all that together into training tools for show organizers so that they can have, you know, so they can see what others are doing and what's working and what's not, so they don't have to just, you know, learn it the hard way. But that's, so obviously virtual is a big part of it. The other thing is figuring out how to do a live event safely and how it's going to look and what it's going to be like. And so that's another big thing is, you know, all the regulations, all of the guidelines, all of the strategies and things that they're going to need to do. And the fact that just, you know, live events aren't going to be like they were before, you know, not now and maybe not ever, because there's going to be, I think there's always going to be that virtual component. And so as we transition back to live, now there's the whole complexity of live plus virtual and what most people call hybrid events and how to best, you know, pull that together. But the good news about the virtual events, most organizers are finding that their attendance is actually up. They're getting more international attendees. They're getting a lot of people that say, you know, we've never been able to come before because, you know, the timing wasn't right, or we don't have the travel budget or whatever. Or there'll be a company that normally sends three people. Now they can send 10 or 12 because they don't have to pay for that travel. So, you know, there's a lot of upsides to doing the virtual, but it has to be done right. And it has to be done in a way that's still engaging. And, you know, just, you know, trying to replicate your entire live event online isn't necessarily the best way to approach it.
Well, and that's, I think, one of the key things that I've heard from clients who, you know, had typically, you know, had these live events that they always felt were, you know, very engaging and were a, you know, core part of the value mm-hmm. that they were creating for members. And now that they've had to shift over to doing something virtual, it's like, how do we make this just not feel like your, you know, everyday average, you know, webinar or series of webinars? So, you know, finding ways to boost that engagement and boost that value for people in a virtual format seems like it's a challenge. And I think folks are looking for ideas about how to do virtual events better.
Well, it is a challenge. And like I said, it's not something where you can just port everything over. You have to really think about it. You have to be strategic and you have to understand what the different tools and opportunities are. And so that's why, like I said, I've been doing all of this research, but I've seen some organizations that have done a stellar job. Like as far as networking, I've seen some where they've done like virtual roundtables, basically, where you can gather in a room. You know, there's software where you can do this, where you can gather in a room and you could sit at a table with people. And it was really fun. I was at one event this summer, and it didn't even have anything to do with meeting planners. It was a more like a entrepreneur summit. But it just so happened there was like five or six of us that ended up at this table, and we all were in the events industry.
Oh, wow.
I mean, you know, and so they say that, you know, oh, that whole serendipity element is gone online. No, it's not. If you present the opportunity, you know, and it was the kind of thing where you could, if you didn't like the conversation at one table, you could hop up and go to a different table, a different meeting, and have a different conversation. But we all just landed in this conversation, and it was just like, oh, this is so amazing. You know, and there's two actually out of the group that I'm still in contact with. You know, everybody connected on LinkedIn then afterwards. And so it really is amazing the possibilities that are there when you are strategic and you look at how can we make this happen. There's another one, it was a food show, and I thought, oh, how's this going to work? You know, you can't taste anything, you can't, you know, interact with the products. One of the exhibitors did a virtual tasting. And so they had a panel of like 10 or 12 people And they sent this tasting kit out ahead of time. And so the rest of us obviously weren't getting to participate, but we got to watch. And so these people, they did like the whole unboxing, you know, they would open up the product and taste it and talk about it. And so they had some chefs and some regular, you know, consumers and just different people. And everybody was talking about the product and the chefs were sharing ideas of how they might prepare a dish with it or whatever, you know, and it was fascinating. And I thought this was so amazing because somebody took the time to think it through and go, okay, we're not just going to stand up there and talk about our product. We're going to let people interact with it. And, you know, so like I said, there are opportunities, but it takes a different way of thinking. And I think that's what so many people are just like, especially right now, are just frozen with, oh my goodness, what are we going to do? How are we going to do this? And it's like, just take a deep breath, you know, and the luxury now, I keep telling meeting planners now, it's like, oh, you have this huge advantage over all those poor people back in March and April that were scrambling. Now you have the time. If your event is not till, you know, January, you've got several months to figure this out and really get creative and really help your exhibitors. You know, that's part of what I want to do too. I also put together years and years ago, I did the 10 commandments of booth staffing. It's like, you shall not sit, you shall not eat in your booth, you know, things like that. So I thought, oh, this needs to be reimagined for the virtual world. So now I have the 10 commandments of virtual staffing. So, you know, things like, everybody on your team needs to understand how the software works and, you know, and figuring out how to engage with the attendees because they're not wandering by your booth. So you have to figure out how to start those conversations. So anyway, I mean, it's not rocket science, but it is different and it does take a different frame of mind.
Well, Marlis, I'll bet you're having some fascinating conversations at your cafe, at your lunches. So I will definitely put a link to that with the podcast here in the show notes. But tell people as they're listening, like, where can people connect in with those and where's the best place to find you?
Well, to find out more about the virtual lunch, you can go to exhibitmarketerscafe.com/lunch, and that'll tell you what's coming up. And then also, my podcast is Trade Show Insights, and that's Trade Show Insights, plural with an S, .com. Awesome. So those are my two websites.
Okay. Well, we will make sure we get both of those links in the show notes. And I know that people who are trying to figure out all of this event stuff and how to make the shift are going to be really interested in connecting and learning more.
And if they're interested, if they'd like a copy of the 10 Commandments of Virtual Booth Staffing, just let me know that.
Okay. Love it. Thanks so much, Marlis. Appreciate your time today.
Thanks, Joy.
Hey there, you made it all the way to the end. Bravo to you. I'm back in just one last time to remind you that there's a free one-page PDF available over at the website that shows you more than 20 ways that technology could be supporting your efforts to attract, engage, and retain more members. It's actually broken down into the stages of the member journey, so you'll know exactly where each piece fits. And everything that's on that one pager can actually be automatically done for you with software that costs less than $1,000 per year. So if you haven't already grabbed it, you can get your copy at joyofmembership.com/tech. joyofmembership.com/tech, TECH. Have a great week and I'll see you next time.